Well, welcome to Break 40. We are going to do a little summary for a few minutes here about this subject, the flesh. The study of the flesh and to understand the flesh is really a serious study. It's one that needs to be known. People need to know about it. They need to understand it. And it needs to be taught. It is such a source of peace and understanding for the Christian. When we look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4, the part of that verse where it says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." When we understand what Christ did to the flesh, for the Christian, after a while, you start to think, man, I just got to quit doing some of this stuff, or looking at this stuff, or going to this place, or doing this thing, or drinking this thing, or eating whatever. Because he makes it so clean. He makes it so simple. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Not the severity of God, as it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, past tense, fell. But toward thee, again, that whole chapter is referring to the Gentiles as a nation, no individuals. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And referring that to the Gentile nation. There will come a time when God realizes that nobody's interested in learning about his goodness, and then he'll go back to the severity when it comes to the tribulation, etc. Now we know that severity in that verse, on them which fell, is referring to the Old Testament, the Jews. And keep in mind, the Gospels are still considered the Old Testament. That's the Apostles' doctrine talked about in Acts chapters 1 through 8. Still going back to the doctrine that was given to the apostles, to the Jews, again, was still considered Old Testament. Hebrews 9, 16, and 17 talks about until the death of the testator, there is no New Testament. So when Christ is dead and then he's risen, then we doctrinally have the New Testament. You've heard me say that many times before. Maybe some of you haven't, which is why I mention it again. It's an important thing to realize. Unbelievably, how many do not teach the truth about the flesh? There's pastors, there's teachers, there's ministers, and of course, the new modern ministerettes, pastorettes, etc. Either they ignore the topic totally, or they just misteach it tremendously. As a result of that, and they emphasize the Great Commission, they're using the threats and the scare tactic of the severity of God that was given to the Jews and given during the Gospel times again. And doing that robs a Christian of hope. According to Romans 15:13, hope from a peace and joy in believing. And again, that verse in Philippians 4:7, a peace which passeth all understanding. It robs Christians of the riches of the full assurance of understanding. And then for people who think that they're a Christian, it could very easily be robbing them of being that actual Christian. They're taught the false gospel. They're taught wrongly dividing the word of truth. And when the next verse that follows up that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, what follows up the vain babbling is what it's called. So if they're not teaching the truth about flesh, then they're preaching and teaching vain babblings. And it says they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Have you ever had a canker sore? Very painful, very damaging, and then says concerning the truth, have erred. At Revelation 16, 13, 14, that army that the devil is preparing, these folks could very easily possibly be part of that army, thinking, of course, that they're saved Christians, and they've just got a religion, and it's based on false teaching. It's based on the Gospels, the teachings of Jesus to the Jews, and not the teachings of Jesus to the Gentiles as the risen Savior. Okay, so let's do a quick review here. Break 34, please man, please God, or please our flesh. We looked at a couple of verses, Job chapter 5, verse 7, Romans 8, 8, Galatians 1, 10, 2 Timothy 2, 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1. Those are verses that deal with pleasing God or pleasing man. And then the issue that I'm putting down here is we do things to please our flesh. Break 35 talked about in the flesh is referring to a lost person, not a saved person. Teachers and pastors today will say to you that you're in the flesh when you do something wrong, and you're in the spirit when you do something right, and as a result, it's a guilt trip they put on you. There's some verses on your notes for that. You know, that concept is the same as the differences between being dead in sin or dead to sin. A lost person is dead in sin. They haven't been cut away from their flesh. They haven't had the circumcision of Christ. So they are dead in sin. A saved person is dead to sin. Now, I'm not meaning that we are now have the liberty that we can just, you know, do what we want as an occasion for the flesh, it says. Keep in mind that the word sin is not being used as a verb. It's being used as a noun. Dead in sin, noun, and dead to sin is used in a noun fashion, not a verb fashion. So don't get caught up in that crazy thought that a lot of even Paul people preach and teach, that sort of a thing. Remember in Romans 8, chapter 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So we are alive because we have the spirit of God. Our body is dead because of sin. And that body, that sin, is just waiting for the final judgment when our works will be judged, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we all know that it doesn't mean that our sin, our body is dead, it's not reacting, there's no fight with sin that's in us. Paul even talks about that, Romans chapter 7 again. No, it may be a dead body, but it sure is active, isn't it? So you can read through the notes and you can read through those things slowly here. Dead in sin, lost person. Dead to sin, saved person. And then we look at the operation of God in break 36, the circumcision of Christ, a circumcision made without hands. It's the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, being buried with him in baptism, risen with him. By the way, that is not a water baptism. Having all of our trespasses, they're forgiven. Not just gone into remission is what the Great Commission teaches, by the way. What early Acts teaches is remission. We want total forgiveness. Having all the ordinances being blotted out, that law is gone. It was nailed to his cross. In Christ triumphing over principalities and power. And that's looking at Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Romans chapter 7, again, 15 plus, because that's a fantastic chapter there, from verse 15 on. And then Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the sword of the Spirit, how it does the cutting. And we would save that specific discussion or break for another time. So let's go on to break number 41. Please remember, through all this stuff I'm talking about the flesh, and it's a wild thing to think about what Christ really truly did, but you stick to the Bible if you believe the King James Bible to be the very Word of God and the words of God, then we believe it. If you have any doubt whatsoever that Bible is the Word of God, you know, the words of God, then you can start thinking this stuff is just beyond understanding. Beyond belief is what it is, but I believe it to be true. So because of what we've learned about the flesh, how we're cut away from it, we have that liberty, we're dead to sin. Please note, in break number 41, we're going to talk about, I'm not trying to offer anybody an excuse, you know, how to justify what you're doing when you know that it's the wrong thing to do, and talks about in Colossians being conformed to the world. We'll talk about that in break number 41.